oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Check engine, ABS, or maintenance light on? Take the guesswork out of your warning lights with O'Reilly Veriscan. The service is free and provides a report with solutions verified by ASE-certified master technicians. And if you need help, we could recommend a shop for you. Ask for O'Reilly Veriscan today.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Lowe's early Black Friday deals are going fast. Don't miss up to 50% off select major appliances. Plus, up to an extra 25% off when you bundle select major appliances. And with Christmas around the corner, you're going to need more string lights, right? Save $4 on GE LED 100-count string lights, now just $5.98. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 12/3. Selection varies by location. Select locations only while supplies last. See Lowe's.com for more details. Lowe's early Black Friday deals are going fast. Don't miss up to 50% off select major appliances. Plus, up to an extra 25% off when you bundle select major appliances. And with Christmas around the corner, you're going to need more string lights, right? Save $4 on GE LED 100-count string lights, now just $5.98. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 12/3. Selection varies by location. Select locations only while supplies last. See Lowe's.com for more details.
Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2 times the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18 plus in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointstc.
Welcome to the podcast. If you'd like to listen to an ad-free version of this episode and all of our episodes, then search True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts and press subscribe. That's our premium channel where all of our ad-free and advanced episodes live, all in one place. True Crime Today Premium Plus. Search it on Apple Podcasts and press subscribe. Even try it for 3 days free.
The evidence is gone, but the nightmare continues. Welcome to Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi, featuring former prosecutor and defense attorney Eric Faddis.
Richard Allen's fate hanging in the balance as we're recording this piece right now. He's accused, of course, being of the Delphi murderer category. We'll see if a jury believes that, as that is where it's sitting right now in their hands. They may already have the verdict by the time you're watching this. Joining me to discuss the case itself and how it's all played out up until its final moments, Eric Faddis, defense attorney and former prosecutor. Let's just kind of do the overview. Both sides have had a chance to now close their arguments, give it over to the jury. Let's start out here by talking about the prosecution of Mr. Richard Allen in this case, from what we knew before going into court to what we know now. How is it read out to you?
You know, it's a bit lackluster to me, especially when you consider some of the bluster pretrial where they're talking about, oh gosh, we have 60 plus confessions. That's a slam dunk, right? Well, when we start to hear about the circumstances of the confessions, the timeline of the confessions, and with that, the questions that raises about the reliability of the confessions, I think that is a less strong case. And even when I was talking with Nancy Grace, and she is pretty pro-prosecution, she saw the holes there too. And so if I was the prosecution, I'd be a little worried.
The prosecution came out with a lot of interesting pieces of evidence. They did in fact eventually play some of the audio from Richard Allen and video from behind bars. We've not heard it in the public, but people who have been there have relayed, of course, their accounts of it. They also played video of early interrogations, of early phone calls, of early interactions with Richard Allen. And from everything I've heard from anybody who has been in that courtroom, they sounded quite different from a alert, concerned Richard Allen to a very almost, you know, just robotic Richard Allen saying, I did it. Not, I didn't do this. I mean, and of course, the story changes from I had nothing to do with this to I did it. Tell everybody I did it. Just, you know, did the prosecution go too far? Did they play too much? They had a lot of evidence, but is that in fact going to kill their case because they're showing every side of Richard Allen here, including a psychotic one?
Well, you know, jurors are pretty smart and they're pretty perceptive. And so if you're showing two sides of the same person that are visibly contrastable, like you can see the visible differences in his mental state in the early interviews as compared to the later confession statements. I just think that a juror is going to put that together and say, hey, something is different between these two things. Did Richard Allen have a come to God moment and want to get something off his chest? Maybe that's what the prosecution is going to argue. But I think that there are some things in terms of how the confessions came out and the circumstances of them later that the jurors are really going to raise some eyebrows about.
You know, people do sometimes feign mental illness or what have you when they're behind bars. So it can be looked at as, well, they're crazy. There's something wrong with them. But the extremes to which Richard Allen went to, and including their own expert that they brought in, said he's not feigning this. I mean, he's literally eating his own feces. He's eating the Bible. He's running his head into a wall, all while intermittently saying, I did this in a monotone voice and being, you know, basically held captive with no sense of anything on the outside and basically tortured by guards saying and taunting him while he's away. It's kind of understandable why he was in the state that he was. Do you think everybody is going to believe in that jury box that, yeah, he was in fact, he went psychotic because of what they were dealing with and what they were putting him through?
You know, it's tough. Anytime you have a confession that is so hard to overcome, even if it's under questionable circumstances, because, you know, the conventional thinking is, why would a person ever admit to something horribly heinous they didn't do? But when you talk about him being in solitary confinement for a long time, when you talk about him being feeling railroaded, feeling hopeless, feeling like, what else can I possibly do? It starts to make sense. Like, hey, I'm going to tell these people what I think they want to hear. Mm-hmm. Especially as my own mental health is visibly eroding. And so what does that confession really mean at that point?
Yeah. I want to talk about some of the evidence as well that the prosecution brought up. I'm very interested in how they're qualifying some of this evidence, specifically the state trooper that confirms the voice matched Allen. Now, that's his testimony. The voice matched Allen. Is that all it is? Is it just him going up there going, I listened to it. I think the voice matched Allen. We didn't hear anything else, as far as I'm aware, that there was like any sort of technology used to actually verify this. Anybody can just say, yeah, I think this is the guy. That's not any sort of verifiable proof. It's a guy making a claim. But that seems to be what they're sitting on, that it matches Allen's voice in a very inaudible way.
Yeah, I mean, it would be so much more compelling if they did some kind of like audio analysis and they said, hey, here are the pitches of Richard Allen's voice. Typically, you know, you could even do like an AI analysis of his interviews and say, hey, here's the ranges within which he speaks. Here's sort of his cadence. And is the audio from that video consistent with that? But no, it's just a dude up there saying, yeah, it kind of sounds like him.
And that's what amazes me. And that's just kind of like what they're resting on. I've never seen it where it's like this guy, and they're using it in a very technical way, though. It's a voice match. No, it's not. It's someone's opinion. It's a guess. There's nothing that says that. The ballistics is the other thing, and that's being argued on both sides. Of course, the prosecution saying, yeah, look at this. This unspent round really matches Allen's Sig Sauer pistol. The problem with that is it's not a very complete science. Could have been in another gun and, you know, matched that too pretty accurately if it's the same type of gun. How strong do you think that is playing to the jury, and the fact that the jury now knows that bullet was there after you had 30, 40 officers trampling through the place, and then, they found it then?
Oh, yeah. And you know, this type of ballistics analysis has never been that compelling to me, especially when you hear it in court. It's really a person getting up there and saying, hey, like some marks on the back of this bullet look like what I might expect them to look like from this gun. So it's got to be from this gun. But that's clearly there's some holes there. And I am not at all persuaded by the ballistics analysis in this case.
Yeah, I mean, speaking of holes, there are just so many holes in the prosecution's case. Were you expecting that they were going to have something up their sleeve that we were just sitting here going, They must have. They're being so bold in front of this case and just denying everybody's motion. It was either they have nothing and they really want everything that could possibly show he's innocent not coming to light, other than what already is going to be there because our case is so weak, or they have something really amazing. It feels like it was the latter.
Yeah, you know, I really expected, especially in this type of an intimate, gruesome murder where there's a stabbing, you would expect some kind of DNA forensics. You would expect that if he brutally murdered and stabbed these and slit the throats of these two young girls, there would be some DNA transfer. There would be some hair that would get on to them, or some of their hair that would get on to him, or some kind of biological connection to what happened. And there is none.
Well, speaking of the hair, that was an interesting point, too. And I think what their explanation was spoke so much to how incompetent this investigation was. You had people just commenting, well, we thought it might be a family member. Everything's up for grabs in a murder investigation. There's no, well, we thought maybe. That just makes sense. No, they're what the hell is that? Where there was so much of that in this investigation, because they did find some hair on the girls, but they tested it far later. The initial reaction was, yeah, it's just, it's family. It's this or that on a body. I mean, what is that? Just inexperience? Is that just, you know, the podunk police department that just doesn't know what the hell they're doing? And they're just trying to do the best they can with what they have, including the limited knowledge and experience they have.
You know, in a high-level murder investigation, you've got to dot your I's and cross your T's, because these are questions that the defense is going to explore if they're good. They're questions the jury is going to have. And so the prosecution, you want to try to answer those questions in advance, anticipate what they're going to be, do the analysis, and have an explanation to give to the jury. Here, they didn't really. It was just kind of like, oh, like we eyeballed some stuff and like, oh, this makes sense to us. So find this guy guilty. That's not enough, man.
Yeah. Let's go over to the defense of Richard Allen. I know we've been kind of arguing that along the way as we talk about the actual prosecution. But yeah, those confessions are a big thing. And having that psychologist come in who wasn't talking to podcasters, who wasn't researching the case, who wasn't biased, seemed to have a pretty solid, you know, explanation, a pretty solid background as well. Who do you think probably read better to that jury, the defense psychologist that talked about him, or the one that, you know, had the tainted history?
Yeah, that's the thing is the defense psychologist is more unassailable. They didn't have the bias or apparent bias that the prosecution side did. And on top of that, it was so critical to have that because, like I said, intuitively, we think, hey, no one's going to confess to something they didn't do. And I thought the defense psychologist did a good job of explaining in a digestible way how that could actually happen after a series of horrible events that Richard Allen has been through.
It's been very surprising to see just kind of how some of these things have played out and what's read better. Initially here, when the defense was going in and right before this case started, we were all looking at this going, gosh, it feels like they stripped them of, you know, any defense that they could have. But I guess that wasn't so bad when there's not much of a prosecution either. it turned out both were playing with half decks, it seems, of what they were allowed to, except the defense actually had some real stuff that just wasn't allowed into the case.
Yeah, and you know, that's a big potential problem. So there's case law in most jurisdictions that says that the judge cannot preclude the only defense that defense is running. If they have one sole defense, and here, you know, arguably it was the Odinus defense that someone else was involved in this, and Judge Gold prohibited that. Mm-hmm. When you prohibit the only sole defense, that is a real potentially reversible issue on appeal. So even if there is a conviction, Richard Allen still has a number of outs on the backside.
He's got, as I've always been saying in this case, he has the get a new trial free card almost guaranteed. That's if he is convicted. And like I said, the jury may have already decided by now, by the time you're listening to this. But let's say he does get off and they do find him innocent because there's a tremendous lack of evidence here. What kind of case does he have against Delphi for round two of this, where it's Richard against them?
Oh, totally. You know, there are potential civil rights claims that he can bring that anyone can bring. Mm-hmm. If there is what's called malicious prosecution or abuse of process, and it's really, the government realizing some problems with the case, you know, waiting 5 years to even bring it. And then failing to establish that a person was guilty after he's been held in solitary confinement for God knows how long. He will certainly pursue civil avenues after this, and it could bankrupt the small governmental municipality of Delphi.
It has echoes of the case out of Manitowoc, Wisconsin, the Making a Murderer documentary, Stephen Avery. Where there were the accusations of murder against him. He was even found and put away, and then they found evidence that exonerated him, and he got a million-some-dollar judgment against the city. And then the city, that's a lot of money for Manitowoc. It ain't a big place. Been there many times. He killed Teresa Hulbach back here in his junkyard, and we know how that has all been sitting, never having to make the payment on that bill. I don't know. It's just going to be an interesting, it reminds me of that. So I would say to Richard Allen, I'd be a little bit concerned if you do get off. I'd be just kind of getting out of Delphi, maybe do the lawsuit from a distance. I don't know. It just seems like there might not be a lot of up and up police work going on his part there.
You know, you bring up an important point because, we think that, if someone is wrongfully accused and then they bring a civil lawsuit, they're allowed to do that and it's cool, whatever. But the reality is that the government's not going to like that. And they might find some other way to go after him if he tries to poke the bear. So on the balance, is it better off for him to just go on about his life if he is acquitted? Maybe.
You make a very good point. That may be the best option. Welcome to the podcast. If you'd like to listen to an ad-free version of this episode and all of our episodes, then search True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts and press subscribe. That's our premium channel where all of our ad-free and advanced episodes live, all in one place. True Crime Today Premium Plus. Search it on Apple Podcasts and press subscribe. Even try it for 3 days free.
Let's be honest. Nothing kills the thrill of a good murder mystery like a commercial for laundry detergent. It's like someone slapping a closed sign on your favorite dive bar. But you're not here for that, are you? You're here for the good stuff. So ditch the ads and upgrade to True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts. With True Crime Today Premium Plus, you get your crime straight. No chaser. Commercial-free, with extended interviews and early access. It's like getting the bartender's special when the bar's already closed. Search for True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts. Subscribe and drink it all in.
Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2 times the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18-plus in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8-6-25 and 1-5-26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointstc.
Big news! The sale of the season is here. It's Wayfair's Black Friday sale, and it's on now. Right now, get up to 80% off everything home and everything you need for the season ahead. Save on quality furniture for every room in the house. Essentials for the guest room, whether it's new bedding or a new mattress. Kitchen and dining must-haves for all your hosting needs. And seasonal home finds like throw pillows and decor. Or favorites that you'll use all year long. And with amazing doorbuster deals from November 27th through December 2nd, you can shop the things you love at even lower prices at Wayfair. Plus, you can sit back and relax with Wayfair's fast and easy shipping. Everything home comes straight to your home. And the best part? Free delivery just in time for the holidays. This Black Friday, Wayfair deals are bigger and better than ever. There's no place like home for the holidays. And no place like Wayfair for Black Friday savings. So don't wait. Black Friday ends soon. Shop Wayfair's Black Friday sale now and save up to 80% off at Wayfair.com.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season season long with 2 times the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger fuel centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18 plus in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointsTC.
This time of year, most of us are checking off our holiday gift lists. But identity thieves have lists too, and your personal information might be on them. Protect your identity with LifeLock. LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second and alerts you to threats you could miss. If your identity is stolen, LifeLock will fix it, guaranteed, or your money back. Make this season about joy, not identity theft, with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year at LifeLock.com/iHeart. Terms apply.